Good morning. Welcome again. Welcome to Adventure Church. I'm Randy, one of the leaders here, and we're talking about the heart. We're talking about healing. We're in a series about your thirst and your longings and what's happened to those. And the history of a person's relationship with God is the story of how God calls a person to himself and then takes them on a journey of healing and then bestows on them their true identity. And last week we talked about how Jesus heals our hearts. And we looked at this scene with little Russell and big Russell from the film The Kid, and how little Russell was wounded by his dad as an 8-year-old, right? And kind of graphically, we're talking about healing. The way it works, sort of in a equation, is we get a wound. We're wounded when we're young, and then we make a vow. And that vow results in a false self, a me that I put out there. So in the case of Russell, the message that you saw was, grow up! Stop crying. In that experience, you want to kill her faster? He was unaware that she was dying. She died. Mother died as a result of his needing her to come and help him at school. He got in a fight at school. The message here was, her death is your fault. Another message is, your need caused her death and your father's rejection. The vow he made is, I'll never need anyone again. I just won't need anymore. I will stop crying, I'll grow up, and I'll be a man. And then the man that it produced was an emotionally stuck, unavailable man, in control, right? A cynical, emotional bully. Right? And this scene is a great picture of how Jesus comes and heals the broken places in our hearts. I mean, it's really amazing. He'll literally come into the scene, just like you saw in that clip, if you let him, if you invite him in to your story, if you say, come, I open myself up, I'm willing for you to look at my backstory, I'm willing for you to expose where I've been wounded, reveal my wounds, he'll come and he'll kneel down and he'll look you in the eye and he'll tell you the truth about yourself. He'll tell you the truth about your heart. And those words will heal you, just like you saw. It's not your fault. It's not your fault, right? Your dad just did that because he's afraid. I've gotten a chance to walk with lots of different people in this, you know, meeting with them and just hearing some of their stories. Somebody comes in with a struggle with anxiety. I've just struggled with anxiety, or I've just struggled with the self-esteem thing. And we just go to Jesus. Kind of like I'm suggesting to you, and I've suggested you do on your own. You can do that with someone else. We would just go with Jesus. Would you come in? Where did this anxiety start? Where did this issue with self-esteem? Where did this, Lord, is there a time where this began? And then the person will just listen, just pay attention to your thoughts. Boom, all of a sudden they've got a memory. You know, much like a scene like that. And they'll remember and say, well, I don't know, but I just have this memory, and let's go with it. Let's see if the Lord's trying to speak to you through this. And Jesus, what was the lie? What was the message that came to that? Would you reveal it to Susie? Sorry, if your name's Sue, I use Susie all the time. You're stuck. Would you reveal it to Susie? You know, and Susie will just go, you know, yeah, you know, the message is it was my fault. Lord, would you come in? Would you speak truth to this? And the Lord will come in and he will say things or do things that I couldn't have predicted. It's amazing. He'll come in with one person, it wasn't your fault. With another person, it's completely unexpected. You're clean. He's saying, I'm clean. Why would you be saying that? Oh, because I was involved. There was a sin here involved, you know, in this scene that I didn't share it. And the Lord will speak to one. I mean, he'll give people pictures in those moments. One person recently saw a like she said, I feel like I saw the Lord. The Lord's like riding in on a horse, gets off his horse, opens up a sack, and pulls out this rich, green, deep green robe and put it on me. The Lord bestowing healing, bestowing identity. If you are willing to walk with Him in healing, He will heal every wound. And it looks like this. It starts with renouncing that false self, right? We had the false self here, emotionally stuck, unavailable. And in the kid, you see older Russell finally get to a point where he says, I am stuck. I do have these issues. I am struggling. Now, I got to tell you, that's a very difficult place for people to get to. That very well may be the most difficult part of this journey. Because people don't want to say, I am shut down. I need healing. I'm willing to take a journey with the Lord. And if you're not there, if you can't get there, then you can't enjoy the healing. It really does require something in us to say, I need help from the Lord. I need deeper healing. I need a deeper movement from the Lord. And so, you see in the film, finally Russell just goes, you know, I do, and he's willing to take the journey. He goes with little Russell. They start looking for what happened. And then, you know, Jesus identifies the wound and lie, kind of as I share with you in a meeting with people, inviting Jesus to take you back, just like little Russell took big Russell back to the key moment. And then Jesus comes and he speaks truth, right, into it. And so that's sort of how it looks. If you think more like, I need an equation, Randy. I'm one of those, you know, linear thinkers. This is kind of what it looks like. If you're willing to walk with Him in healing, Jesus will heal every wound. But the restoration that He wants to give you is even more than Him cleansing you from the blows you've taken. He wants to do that. But He wants to do more. He wants to bestow on you your true identity. Your true name. How He sees you. He wants to tell you the truth about who you really are. The name you were given, you know, maybe it's Charles and you go by Chuck, or Jim, or Mary, or whatever your name is, that's often far from the name that God has for you. And because the name He has for you is how He sees you. So when we talk about finding our true name, we're speaking about a process where we shed our old identity. We shed this false self and we put on a new one. An identity that comes with a deeper strength, often with a life mission and a sense of self given to us by God. Soren Kierkegaard said, now with the help of God, I will become myself. The me I was intended to be, the true me. You will never live beyond your perception of yourself. And I would suggest to you, your perception of yourself is probably pretty off. Even our core passage, Isaiah 61, goes into this. This is all through Scripture, by the way. If you notice, this is our core passage for our church. This is what our church is based on. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up these broken places in your heart. Jesus' mission is to do what I was suggesting to you a few minutes ago, okay? To proclaim freedom from those places you're captive, release from the dark places in you. But look where it goes from here. It goes, like, that's just the, you know, foundation. Look at where it goes. To proclaim the year, the word year there is age. It's the same word as age in Hebrew. The age of the Lord's favor, day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, provide for those who grieve in Zion, and look at, to bestow several things. One, a crown of beauty instead of ashes, oil of gladness instead of mourning, garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called what? Oak strength, right? A picture of strength. He wants to bestow these things on you. And then just the very next chapter, he says, this is God speaking to you. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet. You hear his intensity here? Till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your righteousness, and all kings your glory, and you will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. Now, he does this in very personal ways. That's general. It gets down to really personal. So it's individual. I mean, you see this all through Scripture. Matthew 16 with Simon, right? Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Petros," in Greek, Cephas, right? In Aramaic, it's cornerstone. "I tell you, you're no longer Peter, you're cornerstone. And on this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." What would you do if you had an encounter with the living God and he told you you were a rock, that you're a cornerstone? Oh, by the way, you thought your name was Rob. It's cornerstone. That's your true name. Would that change you? You'd think so, right? You thought your name was Rick. No, it's Mighty Warrior. You know, I don't know, right? We don't know what name he's going to give you, but would it change you? Would it affect you? I mean, this is everywhere, guys. Mark 3, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, to them he gave the name Boanerges. How would you like that? You're now Boanerges. Okay. Which means sons of thunder. Sons of thunder. Now, you might say, well, that means that they're loudmouths. No. He's speaking to their strength. He's speaking identity into them. Part of their true identity. Genesis 17, no longer will you be called Abram, but you'll be called now Abraham, father of many nations. Your name will no longer be Jacob, but he who wrestles with God and overcomes. It's all through Scripture, on and on and on. And then this passage, to him who has an ear, Jesus speaking, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I'll give some hidden manna, which is a picture of food for our souls. It speaks of a deeper feeding on the Lord. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it. For all of you, according to Revelation 2, you have a new name coming. You have a new name. You have your true name. It's coming. One of the coolest discoveries of my spiritual life was this discovery, finding out that God has a new name for me. God has a new identity for me, a name that reflects how He sees me. And that not only speaks... Now, this whole idea of new name not only speaks to your true identity, it does that, but also it speaks to God's ownership of you, because you don't name something that's not yours. How would you like me to come over to your property and name it? I'm going to call this Happy Acres. It doesn't work, right? I mean, I can't name your property. You can name your property. I can't name your dog or your... You know what? You have a really good name for your son, but I'm going to give him a new... I need to name your son for you, right? You can't do that. You name those things that are yours. And this is a deep truth in this whole name thing, is as you have surrendered yourself to God and you're His, and you take this journey with Him, and you say, yes, I'll join you, He wants to name you. Because now you're His. Give you your new identity. Well, it gets very specific. It gets very personal. I've asked a couple of folks in our church to come up and share their experiences. And I'm going to have Cindy, if you'd come up. Where are you? There you are. Cindy, I think you can just take a microphone. Green tape one, okay? And just what I wanted to do is give you kind of a chance to hear from a couple of folks who've had an encounter with God. They've experienced God in a way where He's spoken identity into them, a new name or part of their name. And some of the questions I have for you is, what happened? How did you go? What made you go there? How did it come? Did you see it written on the sky in lightning bolts? You know, how did you get this new identity, this new name?
Actually, I didn't even know to ask for it. I was at a women's retreat a few years ago in Colorado, and it was at the beginning of a session, and I got in and I sat down and opened my journal to a clean piece of paper so I could take notes. And as I was waiting, I felt like the Lord said, write down the name Deborah. So I thought it was kind of random, but I did it. And as the session got underway, I realized it was a session on asking God for your name. And as I realized that, I realized the name that he told me to write down was the name that he was giving me. And as I realized that, I started to panic and totally freak out, because that did not feel at all like who he would call me, because I knew who Deborah was.
What about her? What do you think is true of you now that you've leaned into that?
Me,
I mean, obviously he thinks you're Deborah.
Yeah.
So what is that? How are you, Deborah?
How
has that played out? How has it changed you?
Well, after months.
And some people don't know who Deborah is. Maybe you could just kind of share a little bit of who she is.
Judges 4. Deborah was a judge at the Old Testament times when there were judges that ruled. And she also. I still have a hard time, really, honestly, because what I realized over a few months, several months really, arguing with the Lord, telling him I really didn't see how this was me and it didn't fit. One of the things that he told me is that I'm on a journey with him, mm-hmm. and it's a process. And it kind of feels like insider information from God. It's who he's created me to be, mm-hmm. but not necessarily who I am today. And one of the parts of who Deborah is a prophetess, and I don't even think I understand that. I mean, I don't see that in me, but I realize that as I journey with God and he offers healing, I can say no, I want to stay how I am, or I can say yes to it and become more like the woman he's created me to be.
It's good. Good, thank you. I'll leave you alone. I see it in your eyes. All right, I'm done. All right, Jeff Hansen, come up. Please, thank you. So, Jeff, same question. God spoken into you a name or identity. What happened? How did it come?
Yeah, I was at my first men's retreat at Adventure Church, which was... I think it was the first men's retreat you guys did about 5 years ago. And I had a history of just in the mentors that I had as a new Christian, you know, learning to hear God's voice. But it was more directional, like, what do I do, God, in this situation? But this was a new concept, because at the retreat, it was actually a session where we had time to go out and listen about what Randy's talking about, listening for our name. And so I went out, and as I walked, I was just walking through the woods, and I think it was night. It was like the night session, so it was dark, and I'm walking through the woods, you know, feeling for trees and stuff. And the phrase came into my mind, into my heart, zealous master archer. And I thought, wow, that's really... you know, big and wild. And so I came back and I wrote it down. The picture of the kind of put a face on it that came to me was Legolas from Lord of the Rings, to describe someone who's zealous but is also very accurate. And it wasn't until later processing that, I think sometimes when we hear things from God, it's good to write it down because we're not necessarily going to understand all of it at the time. But I wrote it down, and even just when Randy asked me to share a couple days ago, thinking about it, I realized why that was so significant to me. Because in my first year of being a Christian, when I was 18, I was very zealous. And I caught through the grapevine, you know, from family, that somebody was offended and hurt by how I approached them with my zeal for the Lord in sharing God with them. and I shut down that part of my heart. What God did through that name was help me to realize that who I am really, and I agree with Cindy, and still learning to walk in that, learning to live that out, but is that that zeal is a part of me, but being extremely accurate in how I deliver God's word, how I deliver his love and his character to other people, and how I portray that, even a word of counsel or whatever it is, that's in me, and he wants to join those two together.
That's good. Thank you. Now I want to tell you all about Jeff and Cindy and how they are those names, if you get to know them. I mean, they are. And they are becoming those things. And for me, I used to be very afraid, terrified, frankly, to speak to men. At Cascade Community Church, I was an associate pastor. I had a cushy job, like Jeff does now. Where, you know, I got to oversee small groups, and then they put me in charge of men's ministry as sort of the pastoral liaison to the guy who was running men's ministry. And I was terrified to speak to the men. And we would have groups of 30 to 40 guys show up, and I would do announcements. But I would facilitate, I posed as a facilitator to get the ex-football players and the weightlifter guys to speak to men, because they could speak to men because they were men, but I wasn't. Right? I was a big kid, and I didn't have that part of my heart restored yet. And when I first asked God into my healing journey, okay, Lord, I'd love to hear more about how you see me, and I want to invite you into healing my wounds. The first thing he said, well, after 45 minutes of nothing, walking and praying and just distraction and fog, I finally said, if there's anything stopping me, if there's any kind of demonic thing stopping me from hearing God speak, I command it to stop right now in Jesus' name. I took authority over it because I'd learned I could. That was scary, but I did. And Lord, is there anything you want to say? And then, boom, it was just like, you are a sharp sword in my hand. I love to wield you. And the name was Sharp Sword. And all I can say is something changed with that sharp sword. Where the next Wednesday night, when I was up to do announcements at men's, it was like, no, I shouldn't be just doing announcements here. I'm supposed to be speaking to these guys. And it was just no more fear. And after that, it completely changed how I spoke and how I saw myself. The Lord sort of... Now, I need to tell you, at that point in my spiritual journey, I really wasn't ready. I wasn't open. I wasn't like Russell, older Russell, who said, I really do, I'm willing to look deep inside. I think God gave me sharp sword because it sort of settled the question of, if I open myself up to God like this, is he going to say something that will terrify me, like, you suck and you're a disappointment, right? But what instead, he said, you're a sharp sword, so it's quieted my fear that he would be kind or wouldn't be kind. Does that make sense? It was after that fear was quieted with sharp sword that I could go, okay, I'm willing for you to come into these more tender places. And he has spoken to those much more young, tender places. One time he said to me, you are my Benjamin, which means son of my right hand, which means son that I'm proud of. And another time, he told me, you are my confidant. Another time he told me, you are root of Jesse, which took some unpacking and listening to the Lord on. And most recently he's been saying, you are my heart, which is about him furthering restoring my heart so that I can weep with the things he weeps with. I'm moving into it. I don't understand it completely in my heart, but I think it's about me being having access to my heart so I could weep with those who weep, like he does. Because I don't easily. And I need to be more like him in that way. I want to show you a clip from Kingdom of Heaven. This is a scene where a young, wounded man gets a new identity. Let's roll that. Yeah, Jesus died so that he could bestow on you your true identity. I mean, the whole forgive your sins and all that, that's so he could get to what he really wants to do, which is bestow on you who you really are. Give you your true name. True healing, finding your true purpose, your identity, the life you were meant to live, requires an encounter with God. These things that I experienced with God, Benjamin and Sharp Sword, they were bestowed. It wasn't just like a fleeting prayer time. I mean, it was almost like a knighting. And they're embarrassing to share, frankly. But I do it because I want to offer to you the same journey. They're embarrassing to share, but they are the truest me. They're not just a God is bolstering Randy's low self-esteem issues. Those are the things, Sharp Sword, Benjamin, Jesse, those are the things you're going to meet when you shake hands with me in heaven. You'll just meet them in a way that it'll feel like that's who I'm shaking hands with. And that's what God's up to. He wants to give you. And they have changed everything. Sword changed my speaking dramatically. Benjamin has taken young, unhealed places that needed affirming and has affirmed them. Confidant has settled, mostly, although it's under attack, but it's largely settled the question of, does God really want to speak to me? Which many of you wrestle with. I know. Root of Jesse has given me a commission to lead with strength instead of self-doubt. Now understand, getting these kinds of things from God that we're sharing about today, it doesn't just roll in on a tray. It is extremely opposed. It is the most opposed thing in your life. Your enemy would do anything to keep you from taking the journey of finding your identity that God has for you. Because if you find it, you're going to be a royal pain in the enemy's backside. You're going to be more like Jesus, bringing the weight of your life to this planet for him, and it's going to cause, just like Jesus caused him all kinds of trouble, you will too. I suggested last week that you take some time this week, this last week, and invite Jesus to take you on that healing journey, to give it a couple hours alone with God and invite Jesus into, Lord, show me how my heart's been wounded. Show me, take me on another, you know, part of this journey. And then I want to encourage you this week to do the same thing, but take the next step. Invite him to tell you who you are. Invite him to tell you how he thinks of you. If we could have the ushers come forward, I've got a sheet of paper I want to kind of talk you through. They're going to pass these out. I'd like everyone to get one. And the top of it is just titled, How to Find Your Wounds and Healing. And it just walks you through. Some of you would go, you know, I need this in 6 easy steps, Randy. And I don't know if it's 6 easy steps, but it's several steps. But it just begins with different ways to get at it. It has these prayers for you just to invite Jesus in, get some time alone with him, and just kind of fill in the blanks. Now, this is almost the antithesis of adventurers culture, to give you a piece of paper to do this with, because we're always usually all about, hey, it's a journey. You need to walk with God over time. This is going to take walking with God over time in this. However, I've found that some tools like this can help me think through the stages and steps of that journey. And so I give it to you with just the challenge this week to get 2 hours alone with God, unbroken, in your car, somewhere quiet, in a part of the house that you can lock the door and tie the kids up and put them in a room or something. All right, whatever you've got to do, and just spend this... I know some of you women are shocked that I said tie up your kids. Talk to my kids about it. They get tied up all the time. No, I'm kidding. So this is just a way for you to do this. It's kind of puts it on paper. Please just fold that in half. Put it somewhere so you don't look at it. Because I do want to talk to you just for a couple more minutes about something. But before we do that, I want to show you another scene. Both of these are about guys. This is a scene from Les Mis. And you, some of you gals may relate to it a bit more. Here's a woman who, through a series of blows in her life, has given herself over to prostitution, as is true for so many women and men. Because there's many forms of prostitution. Right? We prostitute ourselves all the time to get love, affirmation, to get the things that our hearts long for. So here's a woman who's gone to literal prostitution, and then a man comes in like Jesus, and he fights the evil one to rescue her, and then he heals her wounds and tells her her true identity. I just want to roll this. Let's watch it just to take us a little bit further.
Thank you.
see how fierce he was for her against that guy at the beginning? I mean, that's your father's heart toward you. That's how he feels about you, that he fights your enemies, those who've been lying to you all your life about who you are. And then she's laying there, and he's trying to help. He's just trying to take care of her, and she thinks he's wants what every other man has wanted. Oh yeah, this one's free. It'll be free. He's like, no, I'm just trying to take care of you. And oh, I'm just a whore. And my daughter has no father. Oh no. Let me tell you the truth about who you are. That's exactly how the Lord comes in and speaks healing and heals the heart of a woman, of a man. May not feel the same. I think that relates, gals could probably connect more with that than the guys, but I wanted to go there just so you had a chance to see it a couple of different ways. That is our Lord's heart. Now, kind of in conclusion of our series on the heart, we've been in this series called Thirsty. We've been talking about this thirst, this heart God has given you for more. The fact that you've been given these longings that drive you along. We want purpose, we've talked about, and mission, and friendship, and a friendship that's deep connection, and intimacy. And we want ecstasy, really. It drives us along. It gets us in all kinds of trouble. Right? You want those things because you were made for an unfallen world where you were meant to wake up every morning and go for a walk on the beach in the cool of the day with the Lord, where the evening conversation is sitting around and going, what did the Lord say today? Where you have connection in your marriage that you've always dreamed of. Adam and Eve, unselfish, free, in love, bodies that don't wear out. Right? Wouldn't that be great? In your prime. All the older people just went, yeah. You know, one of the difficult things when we start talking about desire, we start talking about our hearts, it can bring up a great deal of disappointment. If we talk about friendship and you're longing for friendship, a connection that's deeper, it can put a spotlight on the way you have missed friendship in your life and you've been missed in friendship. If we start talking about work, you were made for a purpose and a mission, it can bring up all kinds of sense of disappointment of where you've missed your purpose, you've missed your mission, We can't look at the subject of our deep longings in our heart long before it exposes some disappointment. And what I want to say to that is this. That is holy disappointment. It's holy disappointment. Your thirst was put in you on purpose for a world very different from the one you find yourself in. And that world that you were meant for is an unfallen world where your thirst for life was meant to be filled for more than really is available here on earth. We were made for a very different place. But don't let that cause you to miss so much that you can have here. We can enjoy a lot with our hearts being restored, walking with God, hearing our name, finding healing. We can live with a deep sense of purpose, mission, intimacy with God. We can experience victory in warfare. We can renounce these false selves, lower our shields of all those things we've talked about, cynicism, all these different things we have, playing the victim. We can lower our defensive, which can help us move into deeper community and operate at the level of the heart. But no matter how we try to arrange things here or change ourselves, it will not replace Eden. the life that's coming. No matter how hard we try to create heaven on earth, we know deep down we can't. Don't you? Wake up the next day, no matter how awesome your best day is. Have you experienced this? Disneyland. We had the best day of Disneyland I've ever experienced last year. The next morning I woke up and I still was hungry for something exciting. Do you feel that? Experience that, anybody? We will wake up with that because you were made for a very different place. I think this is what Paul was getting at when he said this. We know that if this early earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. And then he said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. If I'm to go on living in this body, it's going to be great. It'll mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what will I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between the two. If I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it's more necessary for you that I remain here in the body. There is a life that's coming that far outweighs even the best we can enjoy here. Now, coming to that realization and going, okay, I'm never going to be really fulfilled completely here because I was made for a different place, can cause you to say, some of you, well, if I can't be fulfilled here, why even try? If I can't have friendship here like I want it to be, if I long for Edenic friendship, and if I can't have it, then why even go there? Why even try? Why give so much to it if I'm just going to be disappointed? If my work isn't perfectly the work that I was designed for, then why even worry about finding work that fulfills? And the answer I'd like to give you as we close is, it's not just about you. God has a mission for you. He heals, He gives you a new identity so He can make you into a picture of Himself so you can make a difference for others just like He demonstrated while He was here. Jesus came into this place and made a difference for others. And the more healing and identity He bestows on you, the more you can act like Jesus. I mean, you just think about acting like Jesus relationally. True forgiveness. True kindness. Being self-sacrificing like He is. Loving adulterers like He does, who committed adultery against Him. And if you live that way, you're going to experience some Edenic friendship, tastes of it, as you live like Him. So understand, finding the life I'm talking about is opposed. Finding God in a way that you hear His voice, allowing Him to heal you, tell you who you really are, is incredibly opposed, like I said earlier, because Satan, your enemy, fears you. He knows if you hold on to your true identity and you step into it, you're going to cause all kinds of trouble. John Eldredge said that the only being in the spiritual realm that underestimates the weightiness of your life is you. The significance of your life is you. You're the only one that underestimates it. Everybody else knows. Let me pray for you, and we're going to take the offering and let you go. Jesus, thank you for giving us these hearts of thirst. Lord, they drive us to you. They drive us to all kinds of things. But Lord, when we sort of realize that none of these other things are going to work, we either find you or we give up. And Lord, we know that you made us with those hungers, those desires to find you and become who we were meant to be, to drive us to our true identity, our mission here so we could be like you. Lord, I pray for your sons and daughters here this morning. I pray that you would move them to take this journey. That you would create a fire in their hearts so that nothing would stop them this week from engaging you for healing and their true identity. And then, Lord, that they would have the faith to move into those names and the identities you have for them. And then, Lord, unleash them on this place. Lord, help them to see this week that as they move toward it, or even schedule a time to be with you, everything will try to stop it. Everything will come against it. Lord, give them a heart like yours, like face like a flint. I will not stop. Pray this, Jesus, in your name. Lord, also for the offering, you know the needs, you know that things are tight right now. Pray that you would bring what's needed. Lord, you know I don't like to make that a big focal point. I pray that you would just cover it so we don't have to focus on it too much. We can just focus on becoming who you've called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great rest of your day. Oh, offering, if you're new, basket in the back is how we do that. So.